Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth Drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. I, of course, want to hear from you, so please give me a call. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you're afraid to break me off a call, as always, I ask you, email me. SmoothDrama at SmoothDrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, anything you want to say, I will read it and we can talk a taste on it. I social network. If you have Facebook, I have a Smooth Drama group. It's called the Smooth Drama Group. Myself or Mr. J will add you. Instagram, whatever. I'm Smooth Drama Radio. Google me. Add me. I'll add you back, and we can talk about it. I like hearing from you, of course. And, you know, if you're listening and following me, that means that you like hearing from me also. And we should talk. I think it's only right, right? Oh, speaking of Facebook and spying, whatnot, I know some of you know that Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, has been on Capitol Hill getting his deposition lies in place, answering questions about Facebook. And you know, people are fretting about the lack of privacy. I'm like, if you get on the internet, you should have an expectation of no privacy, right? I mean, am I the only person who thinks that, yeah, if you're on the internet, it's not going to be private? I'm the only one? I mean, because there's, you know, people are talking about how Facebook confirmed that that it uses automated tools to scan messenger chats for quote-unquote malware links in child porn images. It also allows users to report chats that may violate community standards. I mean, I don't know what community standards means, but, I mean, basically community standards would mean to me that whatever you don't like, I mean, because my standards and somebody else's standards, they're like totally different, right? I mean, I can pretty much put up with anything that is not superiorly racist. Other than that, I really don't care. I mean, because it could be like something, if it's like a bunch of naked dudes, yeah, I'm probably going to report that. You know what? I'm hating. I don't want to see that. Bunch of naked women. I'm not going to report that unless they're ugly or unattractive. Then I will report it. But that's just me being a hypocrite. But, I mean, you know, Facebook has been clear that people can review your posts. So it's not an expectation of privacy. I was just wondering, you know, because everybody's old. The guy from Cambridge Analytica, Christopher Wiley, he appeared before the committee of British MPs and said that Facebook has the ability to spy on users in their homes and offices. Like, yeah, if you don't want Facebook to spy on you in your home or in your office, don't get on Facebook. That makes sense. Am I the only one that thinks that makes sense? If you don't want people to spy on you on the internet, then don't get on the social network. Don't do social media. I mean, you're not going to be able to do anything in private on the internet. Just assume that there is no privacy. Somebody somewhere can read whatever the hell you're doing. I'm fine with it. I mean, you look at the technology that we have and the awesomeness that comes with it. See, because I look at it differently than anybody else. I mean, hey, the internet is all about exhibitionism, right? As people, you have a message, you feel like you have a message. I mean, I'm an online talk show host. I talk about what I talk about, things that I feel are important. So I'm exhibiting and exercising my right to exhibit. And people are going to listen to me. Some are going to like me. Some are going to hate me. It is the nature of the beast. And if you're on the internet, that's what it is. I mean, for example, I may or may not have sent out a naked picture or two, or have received a naked picture or two, or may not have watched porn on the internet. And I mean, because the internet, you do whatever. And if somebody intercepted a message, I mean, I've received messages. I've received pictures that were quite invigorating. I may or may not have sent out an invigorating picture or two, or had a, well, I'm trying to think of a nice word that some people are not going to say that I'm talking like a white guy. I'm sensitive to that. No, I'm not. But salacious, solicitous. No, I won't say solicitous because that's prostitution. They were X-rated. I've seen X-rated. I may have NC-17, whatever one you want to call it. It's the internet. What's the big deal? You know, everybody's going at odds over Facebook. And they're totally taking away my privacy. I have the expectation of privacy when I'm on a social network with 1 billion people on it. Think about that logic for a second. We will say Facebook probably got like 200-300 million people on it, but you expect privacy. The internet probably has 2 billion people, 2 billion users, whatnot. But we're worrying about privacy when you know all of those people are on the internet with your ass. I look at it like this. Y'all just too nosy. It's one of them things. Y'all always worrying about what somebody else doing. Worry about what you doing. If you worrying about somebody else not doing right, you probably ain't doing right. You just get tired of accusational people. You're so caught up in what such and such is doing. And 9 times out of 10, the same people who are talking about what such and such does, what they're doing, you're doing the same thing. That's just me. But I am going to talk about my dumb ass of the week. Because it's about that time, right? All right. My dumbass of the week. I got extra hate on him. One, he plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So So my Indiana Pacers are playing them this weekend. So I'm especially hating on him. And I wish him nothing but badness on the court, even though he's doing some dumb stuff off the court. I mean, one, he got with a Kardashian. That just right there is like getting the game sucked right out of you, literally, right? So, you know, she's pregnant. She just had the baby. And this dude is caught on video pulling multiple women into his hotel. And it's like, I guess maybe they have an open relationship. It's just untalked about. But you would think that if you did, you would just put it out there like, hey, we have an open relationship. And I mean, because if your woman is having your child and y'all are down for each other, and all of a sudden you're on video bringing women, there's no way you can look good. I mean, for me, I think it's awesome, honestly. Because then hopefully his head not in the game and he plays horrible against the Pacers. And we beat them. That's all I'm thinking about because I'm a homer like that. So, Tristan Thompson, my dumbass of the week, for one, putting yourself in this kind of position in the public eye when your woman is having your baby. Because that's his woman. Succubus and all that she is, that is his woman. Having the baby and you're pulling, you know, you're a very visible person. Everybody's following you because you're on that stupid show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Why people are keeping up with them, I don't know, but he should know that. So if anything he did, it'd be like you just sit in the room because it's like there's no phones. You like you couldn't even have a burner phone. Like, hey, this is my burner number. I'm going to tell you when to come up. He's not intelligent. But good luck on the health of the baby. And I hope that it messes your mind all up and you have a horrible series and it costs you against the Pacers. That's me. I'm being a hater. But I'm talking about his dumb assery all at the same time. Shout out to Tristan Thompson. Know what I'm saying? I think I have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How can I help you? Nope. They was not feeling that. I'm sorry, caller. If you were just calling to listen, you can call back. Or if you was calling because you had something to say, hey, I would love to hear from you. Please call me back, 347-826-7435. In the meantime, whoo. Oh, man. Another dumbass of the week, like an addendum, right? Black man pretending to be a police officer. This dude... And I mean, you want to know how special he is? He allegedly, meaning he actually did it, he followed a female driver through parts of Maryland, West Virginia, and Virginia over the weekend. Jerry Lentz Saintville, charged with presenting a false ID to law enforcement to avoid arrest. And driving on a suspended license. You know. And he was following her because he had a car that had flashing blue lights and was marked police. So he's a super stalker at the same time. I mean, he's a dumbass super stalker, too. Oh, Jerry. I mean, how desperate are you? When you're a black man playing the cop and you're following a woman through three states, Maryland, West Virginia, and Virginia. Yeah. Shout out to that brother. I mean, and he didn't get shot. I'm like, so what is the criteria? You can be a black man and you can pretend to be a cop and be in the police car riding with the blue light flashing, and they won't shoot you for that. So, but then I'm gonna get arrested. See, it's like I'm trying to figure out what can I do to not get stopped and shot by the cops, but also not get arrested and go to jail where some dude may try to gang rape me. Because it's like both of those options suck. Although one of them I'm living, but after gang rape, are you really living? I don't think that it would add to the quality of my life. So I'm going to root against gang rape. Just a personal pet peeve of mine. So I'm just looking like, okay, pretending to be an officer, is there a way I can get a fine? And that'd be it. And not get shot. Because I'm interested in the not getting shot part. That's all I got. All right. I probably just need to go on break. So I'm going to do that. This is Most Def. Undeniable.
And a B-boy stand. I rock on the mic and make the world want dance. Fly like a dog, you come from up above. I'm rocking on the mic and you can call me Most Stars. No homie, you can call it what you want. You can't call it weak and you can't call it chump. And looking like that, baby, need to call me up. 7-8-8-8-N-E-E-1-1. These jokers don't want none. And all the pretty mommies want some till I'm called BK to a how Biggie stays spread up. All Harris on, no one on, hit him up. Just spit it raw till they can't get it off. Pity get it, just the real niggas get it dumb. Walk down like a loud brown, not a dumb. No, 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 no,
no, no,
every day,
7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. So, I ain't even going to play around with it. I'm going to get into my hater of the week real quick because I'm feeling very hateful right now.
Hate. I hate you.
Normally, I like to ease into it, but you know, This one is real easy. It's like you bending it over and you like spreading them cheeks doggy style. This is the one that I'm spreading them cheeks doggy style and I'm going in on. Rachel Dolezal and Netflix, The Rachel Divide. You know, they're doing a documentary on her crazy ass. Why? Rachel Dolezal, for those people who don't know, she's the white woman who was in charge of the NAACP. She identifies as black because she feels like a black woman inside. Now, I don't know what that means. You know, don't think I'll ever find out. And so many have labeled her, you know, crazy, mentally unstable, and a fraud. But, you know, she identifies as a black woman, and she's sincere with it. And she's so sincere that she got a movie. She got paid. I mean, she's all in the newspaper and headlines. I mean, because she calls herself trans black. You know, this is what she says. This is a more accurate way of describing her complicated identity. So trans means that you're a fake. You're in transition to being black. I mean, so technically, if you take a lot of black dick, In her, she's like trans black. Maybe she had a black kid or two. I don't know. I don't follow her life all that closely. Never want to try. And I'm saying, hater of the week is Netflix for even putting this out there. Because this is some pure hate. Because she's just hating on her natural self. You know, she changed her name to Nakisha Amari Diallo, by the way, if you didn't know. I mean, I just start off with fuck out of here with that. But trans black, The Rachel Divide. I don't. Trans black. So once again, what qualifies you as trans black? What makes you feel like a black woman inside? I mean, because she's a woman, right? I mean, this whole trans deal, it is gone on. It is like a truly what the type deal, right? You know, so people can just say, well, hey, I feel like this inside. And so that's it. That's what you got to do. So, you know, we see this. cracker saying, hey, I'm a black woman, then renamed herself, whatnot, all that. I identify as black. But what are we think? Should we care? I mean, should we care? If she wants to be black, should we care? I mean, do you care? Somebody just wrote trans black lives matter. That's kind of funny. I care enough to talk about it because it's very dumb. I think it's really laughable. And the fact that they made a film about this foolishness makes it even worse. And then I flip it and I say, and we know the answer to this already. If a black woman, I mean, because we know there have been black women and black men who have passed as white people out of necessity, like, you know, if I'm identified as black, my ass is going to get put slavery or just whatever, Jim Crow, something bad was going to happen to you. I mean, we know black in this country has never been associated with anything positive, right? So someone who wants to do it on purpose, like, you know what? I want to be oppressed. I want to identify. I mean, it's not horrible like it used to be. I mean, I'm guessing there are some people who would spit on her grave after they made her dig it and put her ass in it because they would call her the N-word lover, right? But still, could a black woman, could she successfully say, hey, I'm trans white, and would it work? I mean, aside from the fact that we would call her coon day in and day out, not like we don't know a few coons like Condoleezza Rice and Omarosa and Wendy Williams. And I mean, I can go on and on. Stacey Dash. I mean, Coonage, the coon force is strong with them. They have Coonage. Clark Kellogg says spurtability when he's talking about basketball teams. I say they have Coonage spurtability, meaning that the coon ism that can come out of them can come out in rapid rates. It's like, bam, it just come out like thug. You're like, man, you're cooning really, really hard. It's like coon, 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 coon. And you can't even get out of the way of the coonage that smack you in the face. That's what we would call some would. Then there's others who like, hey, she wants to be a white woman, why not? I'm curious about that though. I'm wondering how the sisters feel about I know how a lot of sisters feel about the old Nikisha, whatever, Amari Diallo, Rachel Dolezal. I know how they feel about it. They hate her ass with all their heart and soul. But do you hate that other black woman who, I mean, because we know there's a lot of black women who rock blonde hair and the blue eye contact. I mean, a lot of women do that. I personally think it sucks. But there are some people who rock it and they, you know, they're proud of it. Like, hey, I got blonde hair. I don't give a damn what you're saying. Like, okay. Now, do you care about them? I'm always curious what women think of other women who rock. Do you care about the blonde hair? Because I know there's a lot of sisters that's mad at Rachel Dolezal, and I'm like, you know. I mean, is she important enough to even be mad at, to even care about? I mean, because, you know, I'm always sharing pictures. I see pictures of Sammy Sosa out there. I mean, we know about the late, great Michael Jackson and his love affair with not wanting to look black and normal. And so when I see these individuals, I'm like, wow, white supremacy is strong. When dudes who were normal looking cats want to look abnormal. I mean, because when we look at it, the fact is that the racism is so strong, people still, even in quote unquote, the golden age for black folks here in America right now, even though we can get shot at any point in time, this is still like the golden age, right? This is the best that you've ever had it here in America. Anyway, so when we look at it from them terms, and then we see somebody who wants to actually be, wants to be black, white woman identifying as black, we're mad at her, but then we won't be mad, we won't be equally critical of that black woman that tries to look white. I mean, because we talk about people who act white, but, you know, those same people who will say that you're acting white, they straighten their hair, they wear blonde hair, they get the blue eye contacts, whatnot, but you're talking white. I mean, they get the long, unrealistic extension to look white in my eyes. But they would say somebody else is talking white or acting white. I don't know. Trans black, whatever you want to call it. Now, another, since we're on this trans issue, Jessica Hicklin, serving a life sentence at the Potosi Correctional Center for fatally shooting a man when she was 16. Now, listen to this one. She had turned to drug use to cope with the psychological pain she suffered because she knew from a very young age that she was supposed to be a girl. Now, from the correctional center, she said, "I have two prisons. I have the one I'm in because of bad choices I made in my life as a teenager. And then I have the one I was born into." And she says the one that she was born into was so much more imprisoning and oppressive. And so, federal district court eventually ruled to provide Hicklin with gender affirming hormone therapy. And I'm like, didn't she murder somebody? He, she, whatever you want to call it. Because it was a dude, but he gets in jail. It's like, you know what? That's why I turned to the drugs and stuff. That's why I killed somebody, because I felt like a girl inside. Basically, what they're saying is, if I murder somebody, all I have to do is say, you know what? All my life, I've been living a big lie. I've felt like a woman all my life. And now I need to have this therapy so that I can be the woman that I can be, so I can free myself from that prison. And there's a lot of people, obviously, who was fighting for her punk ass. Like, oh, the prison that they had inside, because they was born a man, but they've always felt like a woman. So they need to have some hormone therapy so they can free themselves from that prison. Their ass is locked up because they fucking killed somebody. That's why they in prison. If you didn't want to be in prison, you could have not killed somebody, and then you could have been the woman you wanted to be, could whatever, as a free person. don't give them no pass. I don't give what prison they talking about they suffering from. Yo, prison. Yo, prison. There ain't no sorry for killer. They just convicted a little black boy for the, I talked about that. They imprisoned him for the cops shooting his friend. He got the life years. Ain't going to be no love for him. He going to get all that gang rape rhythm. But this here, oh, making me cuss. I try not to cuss. I like to use my words. I like words. I'm a wordsmith. I play words with friends. I kick ass. I play Scrabble. I kick ass. If you play me, you know that. Not that I'm trying to brag or nothing, but I am. So I use my words. I don't rely on the cuss words. But some of this stuff just deserves some ultimate fucking disrespect. And this right here is disrespect. The prison inside, the worst prison, because I felt like I was a fucking girl. What that got to do with you killing somebody? Not a goddamn thing. I got a lot of problems. I have a lot of mental things that just irk me. But I don't go out and kill nobody because I'm feeling sorry for myself. That is the weakest shit ever. You are a weak motherfucker. You a hoe-ass, punk-ass, sorry-ass excuse for a human being for using your sexuality to come out with why you killed somebody. Fuck you. And everybody who stood by your punk-ass and co-signed with your weak-ass argument. I did it as a teenager, listening, trying to elicit some fucking sympathy. No sympathy. Zero sympathy. Jessica Hicklin, Johnny Hicklin, whatever your name is, you ain't shit. Your struggles as a man, you know, or a woman inside the body of a man, hey, don't kill anyone, and you can play that shit out however you want to play it out. Now, if Jessica gets out, Johnny, Jeremy, Jesse, whatever the hell their name was, used to be, gonna be, whatever, they get out. That's just, you know, for me, that's another arm of white supremacy. Because if I didn't say it before, I'll say it now. It's a white man wanting to be a white woman. You know, sort of like Bruce Jenner, where he went in, elicited all that sorrow for himself, then decided, you know what, I'm going to be a man again. I just like the attention, whatever. You know, depression, thoughts of self-harm for Jesse, Jessica, Jeremy, whatever the hell their name is. Hey, I'm sorry. If we feel sorry for people like that, what? I'm sorry, I'm going to hold the line. They're a criminal. Now, if they hadn't killed nobody, if you want to be trans, whatever, do that shit. I don't care. Doesn't affect my life in the slightest. But when you killing folks and then coming out, oh, the prison, the worst prison was when I realized that I wanted to be a girl, but I couldn't be because I'm a guy. Bitch ass. Woo. I should stop. I should go on a break. Because I'm saying bitch ass and mother. But as y'all can see, I'm a tad bit peeved. Just a tad bit peeved. I think it's a whole ass argument. If you don't think it's a whole ass argument, please say, you know what, Smooth? That is not a whole ass argument. It's an argument that makes sense. Email me, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Tell me what you think. I'm curious. I know what I think. I hate it. I hate anybody who co-signs on it. And yes, hate is a strong word, and I'm using the strong word because that is a murderer. Drug use, whatever. I don't want to hear that shit. Murderer. Plenty of people have used drugs, not murdered anyone. This fucker did. That's it. Now, I feel so much better. I'm going to break, and I'm going to scratch my balls and feel good about it. Did I say that on air? I probably shouldn't have said that. Anyway, this is Nas. Made You Look.
Mommy reaching your bag, past the fifth. I'm a leader at last. This a don you with my nines to spit. Niggas lose contact.
Together you got smooth drama. Smooth drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Nas. Made You Look. 347-826-7435. Once again, call in number 347-826-7435. Whew. Man. Oh. So y'all know, it's kinda It kind of is, but it kind of ain't, but it kind of is Groundhog Day. But, you know, I ain't going to say it. I'm going to let my homie say it.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
Colin Kaepernick is the shit that happened again. Colin Kaepernick was set to work out for the Seattle Seahawks this week, but the trip was postponed. Why was the trip postponed? Well, he declined to stop kneeling during the national anthem next season. They're like, what? We done kept your ass out of football for a whole year, and you still want to stand for something? What the? Come on! Come on! You know, in their hardcore races, come on, boy! You ain't learned to play ball yet. Damn it. Thought we taught your ass a lesson. You want to kneel for the national anthem? You won't care about poor folks that don't care nothing about you? What the hell is wrong with you, boy? So, of course, on NFL Live, Adam Schefter said there's a possibility that the workout could be canceled. You know, because the team has an opening for Russell Wilson's backup. But, hey, he still wants to kneel for the anthem. He still wants to stand for something. So, of course, we cannot have that. Ain't that something? You can be a low-down, dirty person. You can beat the hell out of your woman, so long as you don't stand, so long as you don't kneel during the national anthem, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, and just in case you didn't know, Eric Reed was asked the same thing by the Cincinnati Bengals. Are you going to kneel during the national anthem? See, because what we talking about here is white folks. They can't take the fact that you care about yourself and your people. It's like a foreign anathema to them. Like, what? Still caring about your people? We ain't beat that out of you yet. We haven't tricknowledged you out of loving black folks. Why you love black folks? They don't love themselves. And you loving them? Shh. What's wrong with you? Because that's where we at, right? White folks get mad because you don't want to be treated like you're not human. I mean, they're so used to treating you subhumanly. The fact that you want to matter, that you want your life to have meaning in the world is too much of a concept for them. They're like, you want to mean something? You want us to care about you? Man. Y'all asking for a lot. That's what it is, right? You asking for a whole lot when you want your life to mean something to these crackers. That's what it is. Groundhog Day. One thing that has been irking my nerve, also working my nerve to another end, this whole, I mean, Black Panther, beautiful movie. Black Panther's a beautiful movie. You know, for me, seeing all my favorite comic book characters come to life has been like a dream come true. You know, I used to dream of comic book movies, and we had them terrible movies growing up. Because I'm like 83 years old, right? So I've seen the gamut of old terrible comic book movies. So when I see a good one, I'm like, oh. Like I stopped reading Tomb of Dracula because Blade was in it because it was a terrible looking character. Then Wesley Snipes made him cool, and I was like, hell yeah. And thus, Black Panther. It's a great character, and to see it come to life, to see the whole storyline and black folks being able to defend themselves, defend their borders, and be viable characters, and love one another in a positive way and be seen in that positive light. It's, you know, it's really good. Except for now, I'm starting to get Wakanda out. I got an email. Some of you know I'm a comic book publisher. I got an email for WakandaCon. And don't get me wrong, you know, what Wakanda represents, it's beautiful, but it's fictional, right? And the fact that people talk about Wakanda, I mean, I've heard Wakanda referred to in positive light, and then I've actually heard and seen a gentleman refer to Wakanda in the negative light, like women want to have like self-esteem and they want to be thought of in a positive light. And brother was upset by that. You know, the concept of that, you know. And I'm upset by WakandaCon, not because it's probably going to have a bunch of beautiful black folks there, but I'm like, we're so enthralled with WakandaCon. I'm like, you know, they're like real African nations, that we could support those African nations. And, you know, if we actually support each other, Wakanda could be real. But that's just a foreign concept. Folks don't think of it in an actual, we're cool, we're pretending to be unified in our make-believe world. We can't be unified in real life. Because we can do a WakandaCon, but if you did a Pan-Africanist deal where folks talk about, hey, we need to do stuff and support each other and make Africa. You know, we hear Trump and they're talking about make America great again. I'm like, what about making Africa great again? Foreign concept, but we'll go to WakandaCon. Be a whole bunch of folks in dashikis and Black Panther costumes, whatever, be black folks, we'll all be feeling good. And then, you know, we can feel good in the reality of imagination. And then we'll leave there and go right back into the real world nightmare that we know. Instead of working towards beauty, our image on our own homeland, making that better instead of just a convention where we can imagine being unified. We can pretend it's happening. We'll all be unified in the pretend world. Yay! Not. See, because while we're pretending, your oppressor and enemy is not, you know, for example, Huffington Post was the sole media outlet in attendance last week during a testimony from an undercover officer identified as Brian. During cross-examination, Rich Federico, a federal public defender representing this evil dude named Allen, asked why the FBI didn't inform the local police about the domestic terror plot so that the local officers could knock on the plotter's door and essentially tell them to cut it out. And here's what Federico said. Hey, knucklehead, we know what you're talking about. Knock it off. Now, what am I talking about here? He's talking about, we know what you're talking about. Knock it off. To white terrorists. These dudes was talking about plotting to kill people, Muslims, in fact. And they said that basically they had been tricked by fake news about Muslims, and they had merely engaged in hateful locker room talk. That's what they call it, hateful locker room talk. But for us, we know it as reality. So while we're doing WakandaCon and loving our fake, fictitional United Front Black African nation that's never been conquered, we're unified in that. They're unified in making their terrorists, real life terrorists, like, hey, knock that off. Stop it. We know that you're talking about that. So don't make us come arrest you, man. Don't do it. That's basically what they're saying. And, I mean, for me, it is a sad testimony when, you know, this happens. Because this is your oppressor. This is how your oppressor talks to one another. Like, you know what? Just don't do that. It doesn't make sense. But they'll arrest your black identity extremist ass in a fucking heartbeat. And that's what we're talking about here. They will arrest you in a heartbeat for identifying as black. Won't let you get a job for sticking up for black folks. But hey, stop that. Don't do that. That's not nice. That's how they feel about white terrorists. Just saying. Now, before I go, I found out some bad news again. You know, we lost our contributor, artist friend Lavelle Davis. Sad, right? Then I found out today, one of my friends that I graduated high school with, David Whitaker, has moved on. Lee, the brother, was 48. He's young. You know, and it, you know, you start talking about perspective and what's perspective and what's not, right? And so I look and I see, you know, I see black men dying of unnatural causes, the stress of life, and natural causes, the non-stress of life, the racism. And then I see getting shot by the police also. And you wonder, which one is worse? And on that note, rest in peace, David Whitaker. Love you, bruh. Forever. I'm Mr. F the N-word. This is another Smooth Drama production. And I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her head.
Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama. Smooth.